It's 6 Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific.
Why aren't they in jail right now? They brutally attacked a New York City police officer.
Coast to coast and around the world from the America Out Loud Talk Radio studios.
Our criminal justice system is upside down. It fails every day.
It's time for The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott.
Things got a little stormy on Tuesday when Stormy Daniels took the stand in the Donald Trump case in Manhattan, where we have a George Soros district attorney that is prosecuting a crime that didn't exist. That is what is happening in America with the lawfare that the Democrats continue to use. And where are the Republicans? It's an interesting question. My name is Booker Scott. This is The Truth Be Told on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us here on this Wednesday night. And as always, on Wednesday night, we go live into an X space to hear from the American people. We take the pulse of the people. It's a town hall, and we'll be doing that here in just a minute. But before we do that, I do want to set up a couple of things that we can talk about here in this town hall. This hour is brought to you by ShareRight.org/Booker. I encourage you to go there to see how much money you can save because it's going to take you about 2 or 3 minutes. In fact, you could go do it right now at ShareRight.org/Booker. This is incredible healthcare, and if you're one of those that are uncomfortable being in insurance where your insurance company is paying for transgender surgery and abortions and things like that, you need to check this out, ShareRight.org/Booker. You will save thousands, and it's only going to take you a couple of minutes to find out at ShareRight.org/Booker. So now let's get into this hearing and what's going on in Manhattan. We had Stormy Daniels. She was on the stand, and things got a little bit out of hand. She got into incredible detail on what she claims was the affair that she and Donald Trump had, and this would be going back to the year 2006. First of all, this has absolutely nothing to do with the case that is being brought by Alvin Bragg and the district attorney. Don't forget, the last couple of nights we have talked on this program about Matthew Colangelo, who came from the Biden Department of Justice. He was the number 3 man in charge. And for some reason, he decided to go take a lesser job for Alvin Bragg in the Manhattan DA's office. It really doesn't make any sense unless, of course, it is your purpose to make a name for yourself for the Democrats so that maybe you end up in a better job, say the attorney general, if Biden wins the next election. Maybe that's the reason why we see this. But what happened in the court on Tuesday was an absolute joke. And Donald Trump and his attorneys asked for a mistrial. And even Juan Merchan, the judge in this case, he was uncomfortable with it. Earlier in the day, at the beginning of the proceedings, he had put up guardrails with regard to Stormy Daniels testifying. And the guardrails were blown out. Stormy Daniels went over them. The prosecution's questions for Stormy Daniels were for one reason, because it had nothing to do with the case. They just wanted to cloudy the water for the jury. The salacious details that Stormy Daniels shared, again, have nothing to do with what they allege is a crime and the crime that he's being tried for. It should have never been allowed. They ask for the mistrial. Merchan says no, although I think he was a little uncomfortable. And he had reprimanded the prosecution for their questions on Stormy Daniels. But he allowed it anyway. And this is very prejudicial to this jury. This whole thing has been rigged. Yeah, I said it, rigged. It's not a word I say very often. I don't like it. I think we should get past it. But this is rigged. I know your feelings about Speaker Mike Johnson. Now, they're probably not great. You wish that he would be vacated, possibly. Maybe you're in the Marjorie Taylor Greene, Thomas Massey camp. That's fine. You have a right to your opinion. Here is Speaker Mike Johnson because he has something maybe you might want to hear on this.
But one of the things that is also in jeopardy right now is our judicial branch, and it's our system of government itself. And I don't think we can say often enough here how much that has been abused under this administration and with local prosecutors, state prosecutors, and at the federal level.
Let's go through them all. You want to? Alvin Bragg, Jack Smith. You see what's happening in the South Florida case with the classified documents and Jack Smith. Judge Cannon down there has unredacted and unsealed much of what has been going on with those classified documents.
We're using lawfare. They're using our judicial system to go after political opponents. The most obvious example of that, and I think the most egregious one in history, is what is being done to Donald Trump right now. This is yet another week where cable TV has a split-screen image, right? On one side, turn on any news station, you see the partisan prosecutors and the double-standard DOJ going after President Trump. And on the other side, college campuses being wrecked by anti-Semitic mobs. In Manhattan, in the New York case, I mean, it's play-by-play on all the stations, right? That case should never have been brought. If there's ever been an example of lawfare, everybody can look at that and see. The trial is being orchestrated by Democrat supporters of President Biden who are trying to make a name for themselves. I mean, they're pretty open about that. They used it in their campaign pledges. We've got a Democrat district attorney, a Biden donor judge, whose daughter is a Democratic political consultant and has clients that use the case in their solicitation emails to raise money.
And by the way, she's raised over $100 million for the Democrats. That's what she's done, Judge Juan Merchan's daughter. This isn't rigged, is it? No, it's totally rigged.
And now we've learned there's an assistant DA who was recently a top man at the DOJ and received over $10,000 in payments from the Democratic National Committee.
This is Matthew Colangelo that he's speaking about. Colangelo took $10,000 in 2018 from the Democrat National Committee, and now he is prosecuting Donald Trump in this case.
This is all wrong. It doesn't matter what political party you're in. You have to look at this. If you look at this objectively, you know deep down that this is wrong. And think about all this in the context of New York. Assaults in New York are at their highest level ever. Crime is through the roof.
Okay,
the
and now he goes on to a political stump speech, which is, it kind of gets old, but I totally agree with him. It's the highest inflation, highest gas prices, blah, 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 blah. We hear it all the time. But the lawfare that the Democrats are doing is serious, and it is a problem. If they will go after Donald Trump, where will they stop? Next, it will be you. And if you think that is out of the question, go to the Washington, D.C. jail, the prison there, where January Sixers are still sitting 3 years later. That's what's happening in America in 2024. I'm going to get your opinion on this here in just a few minutes as we go live into an X space. But something else I want to bring to your attention is something I speak about quite often, and that is the Democrats' plan and what they are currently doing to make you look like an idiot. They want to gin up their base. They want to energize their base for votes and for donations because they are creating fear of you. Crazy Maxine Waters, I played it last night. She is talking about the hills have eyes. There are people right now, people like you, people that support Donald Trump, that are in the hills, and they are training. That's what she thinks. She's on MSNBC saying those types of things. She believes that. And she wants the voters to believe that, too, because they have to create the fear to energize that base. Here's Speaker Hakeem Jeffries, and you may say that he's an idiot. He's a blooming idiot. He's a buffoon. He's not very smart. What? No, he is smart. They know what they are doing. This is what we are up against in this election in 2024. Between the lawfare and the lies, it's an uphill battle. But here is Hakeem Jeffries.
The extreme MAGA Republicans have set in motion the erosion of reproductive freedom. We're going to fight for it with everything that we've got.
And he can't say three words in a row without pausing. Like Barack Obama, he drives me nuts, but he's not dumb. He knows what he's doing. Reproductive health care, that's abortion. That's what he's talking about. You MAGA extremists.
If Roe v. Wade can fall, anything can fall. Social Security can fall. Medicare can fall. Voting rights can fall. And God help us all, but democracy itself can fall. If Roe v. Wade can fall, then anything can fall.
Now let's go back to Maxine Waters, crazy Maxine Waters in The Hills Have Eyes. I played it for you last night. I'm going to play it for you right now again. Because she's crazy, too. But they know what they're doing.
And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask the Justice Department and I'm going to ask the president to tell us what they're going to do to protect this country.
So she's going to get the president of the United States and the Department of Justice involved. What are you going to do to protect us, to protect our democracy, to protect our people? What are you going to do, Joe Biden and the DOJ? Because here is what crazy Maxine thinks is happening.
If he loses, I want to know about all of those right-wing organizations that he's connected with.
She's referencing Donald Trump. This is what's going to happen.
Training up in the hills somewhere and targeting, what communities they're going to attack. We're training up in the hills somewhere and targeting, what communities they're going to attack.
That's what they think you are doing. They think you are up in the hills training to attack if Donald Trump loses the race in 2024. This is what's going on. Over the weekend, I had the opportunity to have a celebration for a niece. She turned 18. She's graduating high school here in a week or two. She got accepted to the University of Georgia. It's a big move for her, a big time in her life. I will say that politically, she is far on the left, and I'm not. And I will say this, that it's very cheap to rent out a movie theater if you're ever looking for something fun to do for a celebration or a birthday party, which is what we did. And then part of it was, the theme of it was, dress like your favorite actor or actress, favorite character from a movie. And my favorite is Rudy from that movie. I get emotional every time I watch that movie. But I didn't want to go to all the trouble of finding a 1970 Notre Dame uniform. So it was easy for me to be Forrest Gump, and I've always loved Forrest Gump. So khakis and a blue plaid type of short sleeve shirt buttoned all the way up and a red hat. That's what I wore. I was Forrest Gump. Then I started thinking about the soundtrack of Forrest Gump. You know, that movie is 30 years old. It was about 1994 when it came out, and what a great soundtrack it was. And one of those songs was a song by Buffalo Springfield. And even though this song is 60 years old, it works today, doesn't it?
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I've got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
And this song with Stephen Stills and Neil Young was 1967. And they're talking about civil unrest that happened right there in California. This wasn't necessarily about the Vietnam War. This was something else. But this song is one of those songs that is timeless, and yet it still fits in this time that we're living in. And it got me thinking, where are the solutions for the problems that we have? If this song worked 60 years ago, and it still works today, what things have we solved as a society when we can still use the same song from 60 years ago that fits into today? And are we willing to take a look at ourselves? Are we willing to compromise on anything, or have both sides at this point dug in so deep that there is no meeting in the middle on anything? Is that where we are in society?
There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Time will stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
I mean, are we ever going to solve the issues of race, abortion, all the things that are so important to us? What about the border? Are we just going to dig in and say, no, it's my way or the highway? Are we all going to become Marjorie Taylor Greene, where if we don't get our way on every particular thing, we just want to vacate the seat and impeach somebody? There's got to be a better way for America, doesn't it?
What a field day for the heat. A thousand feet of the in the street.
carry inside. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Your life, it will creep. Starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. Better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's growing now. Stop, hey,
can you see what's happening in America? If you can, you better wake up. That's the Buffalo Springfield there, and I've always loved that song. We're going to go live into that X space. It's coming up next, so stay right here. We're going to hear from you. Get the pulse of the people.
If you ask me, this whole world has gone to hell. I speak the truth, but these days the truth won't sell. I bleed red, white, and blue in my ways you just can't change. Wrong or right, I give my life for this place called USA.
More Truth Be Told with Booker Scott in a minute on America Out Loud.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Every afternoon at 3 o'clock, you can hear attorney Tom Renz right here on America Out Loud Talk Radio, and that is followed by Paul Engle and the Constitution Study. Right now, this is The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott. Thank you so much for joining us here on this Wednesday night. As you heard there in the first segment, we started off with Donald Trump and his trial that's going on with Stormy Daniels and that hush money. And then we talked about some other things, too. And I'm not sure where this conversation is going to go, but we do this every Wednesday night right here, and we get the pulse of the people in a town hall in an X space. That's where we are now. And let's go to Lisa to start this conversation. Lisa, go ahead. The floor is yours.
Well, thank you, Booker. I really appreciate it. Having been an attorney for over 25 years, I wanted to just touch base on the lawfare issue that was being discussed and as to what's happening to Donald Trump.
Sure.
and the future. But here's the thing. It's not where next. Here's what the thing is. What has been happening to Donald Trump, okay, has been happening to we the non-celebs for more than three decades. This what you see here is that we the people are treated like that nonstop, and that's been going on for eons. So it's not what will be happening; it's what's been happening. So I just wanted to point that out.
Well, thank you.
And it especially goes to the conflict of interest regarding the judges. Judges have a habit of not recusing themselves. So, again, business as usual. And the last point that I'd like to make is about Roe versus Wade. People really shouldn't get too upset about that, because in reality what happened, it didn't really get overturned. It just turned it back to the states.
Right.
So just a few points there. Thanks, Booker.
Yeah, and I think, let me come back to you, Lisa. Let me ask you a question. As an attorney for 25 years, and you say that this has been going on, what do you see in court or in your practice that makes you believe that this has been going on for years and years? Is it the judges? Is it the judges? Is it the prosecutors?
Listen, this goes across the board. It's called the club. And actually, I've been retaliated for being an attorney and whistleblower. So it's play along to get along with the attorneys and the judges. See, there is no accountability, right? I know they say that they have a judicial conduct commission, but you know the open secret is that it's really self-policing is really a sham. That's not self-evident. So, don't forget, judges are basically lawyers donned in black robes.
Yeah, there are a lot of clubs right now, and we happen to be in none of them, whether it's in Congress or politicians or in the court. The American people, we the people, we really don't have much say in anything. We don't have a government for the people, by the people, and of the people, do we? Let's go down to David. David, go ahead. The floor is yours.
Booker, good evening. You really gave us a lot to think about here. And I tell you, I'm going to start off with, you know, with this be kind of the pulse of the people and truth be told. Talking with a bunch of folks, friends of mine here in the Midwest, we are just on information overload from the lawfare piece of what's happening to Trump, and never seeing anybody attacked on so many fronts about so many issues with so little evidence, just to really, you know, it comes down to, for us, it's election interference. That's what they want. They want to keep him out of the game. And as much as they can tie him up in court and other procedures, the better off they think they're going to be. And then you look at what that does. It takes away focus on the border. We're seeing that with all these protests and things going on. And I got to tell you, we're really feeling very overwhelmed with all the different attacks going on here in America, not to mention just the dismantling of our economy. It's a lot to take in. And, you know, we talk about Speaker Johnson, and you know, at this point, I don't want him out. Do I think he's doing a great job? No, I don't. I don't like what he's doing and some of the things he passed. But given the chance that there's a potential that Hakeem Jeffries could squeeze in there and really mess things up before the election, I mean, the status quo for me right now is better than nothing. And, you know, it's just a lot to take in. And the last thing I'm going to say before I land it is, where is the conservatives in coming up with more information on TV, more ads? Where's the Maxine Waters of the conservative side, you know, raising issues and saying, you know, some of the other propaganda going back? Right. She's saying we're all in the hills and we're all doing that stuff, creating fear. There's no response from the Republicans, from the conservative side. We're absent. I'll end it there. Thanks, Booker.
Thank you very much. Great, great comments. I appreciate it. Let's go to Alien Light. If you're listening on America Out Loud Talk Radio and you hear me call people by weird names, that is what they've actually named themselves. And it's all I can see on the screen here on Twitter. X is what it is. So let's go to Alien Light. Alien, go ahead.
Thank you so much. I'll be very brief. Unconditional love. We're posting color spectrum cork, red, green, blue, anyone that has any intelligence of quantum physics, no colors, not from Earth, we are pulsing consciously now.
And sometimes you get that in spaces. That's enjoyable always. Thank you, Alien Light. Come back some other time. Thank you so much. I appreciate your comment.
Yeah, you're going to the hell.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you. That's a possibility. I do the best that I can, though. Let's go down to Jake. Jake, go ahead.
Well, I just have three little quick comments, but it'll sound like four. One, our government needs an enema from the inside out. Two, look up the word government in the Latin or the Greek. I don't remember which it is. It means steering with a rudder, which translates to mind control. And that was the two. And the fourth one, or the third one, we do not have Democrats and Republicans. We have a uniparty. They all operate under the same cloak. That's all I wanted to say.
Was math a good subject for you there, Jake? That was three, but good job. Are you in the hills right now? I don't think you are, but it sounded weird. I don't want to get Maxine alerted to you. So let's go to Arkansas. Let's go to Janet. Janet, go ahead.
Well, thank you for letting me speak, Booker. Yeah, I just wanted to chime in on a few of the things that you mentioned earlier when you were talking about what our country's going under right now. And I can say for sure that I have a wonderful governor because she just told this administration that we will not comply when it comes to Title IX. So there you go. There can be justice for the people. If the people vote for the right person and put them in office, they will follow through if you follow them. So the only way that I see that we can take back our federal government is to start one city, one town, and one state at a time by signing up to work the polls, going out and stumping for your people that you believe will help your community, and getting people to register to vote. And if we take back our little towns and our cities and then take back our states, we will control the federal government again where it belongs, in the hands of the people. That's what I wanted to say, and I say God bless America.
Thank you, Janet. And you were talking about Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who signed an executive order last week that kept the Title IX expansion that Joe Biden did out of it. I did a little piece on it Monday night on the program, so if you're listening, you already know about what happened there. Let's go back to Patriot. Patriot Rob, go ahead.
We are in a conundrum. We are in a constitutional crisis right now with the way our government's being run, but if you look back, it's been at least 40 years. And I'm going to pick one thing out as an example. It wasn't like the straw that broke the camel's back. It was Tipper Gore and the PMRC. We should have known back then when they were trying to censor music, ban music for offensive stuff. We should have known back then what the left, but for 40 years, at least that I've been aware, because I've only been on the planet almost 50, we have capitulated with the left on everything. Every time we turn around, and I'm not anti-gay, but gays in the military. We're talking about now transgenders in the military. And then we're talking about, well, why don't we just do this? And why don't we just do this? And like, give them that. We've given them inch after inch after inch, and they've taken mile after mile after mile to the point that we are where we are right now. Listen, I get Marjorie Taylor Greene's anger. I get her vitriol. I get it. I'm 100% in agreement with them. But unfortunately, we are in a position right now where I think it was Hat David that said, you know what? We have to keep the lesser of two evils, because it's either this Republican, quote unquote, in name only, barely doing what Republicans are supposed to do, or we get radical leftists like Hakeem Jeffries. We have been in this position for 40 years or more, the lesser of two evils, until Donald Trump started running, when he first announced he was going to run. We have been mired in this crap for 40 plus years. I get where she's coming from. I want to see Mike Johnson gone. But you know what? If Hakeem Jeffries is next, then I guess I need to be quiet. Mike Johnson is not doing anything for conservative values. He's not doing anything for American exceptionalism. He's not doing anything to better Western society and Western culture. He is sold us down the river for whatever, whether if they have something on him from his past, which most people in Congress do, most people in the government do, or they money for when he gets out, whatever it is. But we, the American people, we are always the one that takes it in the worst place possible. And that's the nicest way I'm going to say that. And I'm done with this. I am done with all of this. I am done with capitulating with the left. I am done kowtowing to these special interest groups. You want to put me in jail for dead naming somebody? I'm done with all of this. I am completely 100% done. I don't care. Call me a racist. All right, I guess I am. Call me a homophobe. I guess I am. All of the liberal tropes that you want to say to me, I own it. I don't care anymore. Do not have any power over me anymore.
So I guess no, that's fine. Let it out. We're here for you. We're here for you. I guess the answer to my question for you is: are you dug in? You're dug in. Yeah, there is no compromise for you, and there are no solutions other than your solutions. Is that fair?
I would hope that my solutions and my beliefs are shared with the rest of the true conservatives out there. So I would say I would echo quite a bit of the, you know, maybe 100 million people who actually did vote for Trump. We're tired of this. And yes, I actually do live in the hills. I live in the hills of New Hampshire. I live on a mountain far away from everybody.
Are you training? Are you training right now? Maxine thinks you're training.
Well, Maxine can.
Yeah, watch it. Kite. It's a radio. Maxine, let's just call her crazy. What about that? Let's go to the state of Texas. Let's go to Doc Martin. Go ahead.
Thank you, Booker. You know, as I was sitting here listening to everyone and contemplating the subject at hand, it really, to me, boils down to a couple of things. Number one, we have to accept responsibility for the fact that we went to sleep and allowed forces in this country and in the world to usurp their authority and to basically captivate the narrative. They have taken over every pillar of our society, and with changes in language, with marketing, which we failed to do, with, you know, all of that taking advantage of our laxness, they have really taken over and taken our youth. Excuse me, I'm having a hard time putting into words what I'm thinking, but they have just really indoctrinated our youth with, you know, half-truths. They don't know that we are a constitutional republic, not a democracy. They don't know that the real place for the majority of these decisions are at state level, where they actually have more input than they do on a federal basis. So, you know, to me, we have to take all this back and, you know, really teach the true Bill of Rights, the true Constitution, you know, educate these people, because there are things that, you know, have to do with education, all that we think of as local issues, but they really affect us, you know, on a national security level. Because if no one knows what we are and what our rights are, how are they going to exercise them? You know, then they're going to fall to every crackpot that's out there that tells them something. They're not going to know the truth or have any basis upon which to judge it. So to me, we have to, as conservatives, take back the narrative and really teach our youth that, you know, no, Roe versus Wade didn't fall on a state level. And if you think it's right, then get out there and put your best argument forward for the people. Then, as a united people in your state, you can decide what you can live with and what you think is right. You know, there are things, though, that have to do with more of a kinetic security, which would be our southern border. Again, we have to take back the narrative and educate the people that these are not necessarily people running from, you know, horrible circumstance. They're just wanting to come to America for what we have here. And, you know, I was giggling when I heard Colorado put out a notice to all their their citizens saying, you know, if you'd like to house a newcomer, as they call them, I call them illegal aliens because that's what they are. They are illegal. They entered illegally. They broke our laws. So I'm not going to call them anything else. Again, we've got to take back the narrative. We've got to take back our language. And, you know, they were saying, open up your home. How many can you take? And I said, I think we ought to play a knock-knock joke on them, and I'll call them and say, you know, knock-knock, who's there? A horde of illegal aliens that want your life, and you're the only one standing in the way. So if we do not take this narrative back, we are dooming our children, because every right that they have that they don't know they have is a right that's been robbed of.
Thank you, Doc. And you bring up indoctrination of children, and I had the opportunity to have a conversation with Dr. Carol Swain on a show back in October. In fact, it was the week after Hamas invaded Israel, and the college campuses were already starting to get active, and the cities. And I assumed, and maybe you do too, that the indoctrination is taking place in college campuses. And I asked Dr. Carol Swain, if you don't know who she is, a fantastic story. She goes from a dirt floor in Virginia, one of 13 kids, married with a child at 16, divorced by 21 with three kids, and ends up getting a doctorate, and was a professor at Princeton and then at Vanderbilt. And so I go into this conversation with her, and again, I make the assumption that the indoctrination is being done in college. And I asked her the question, and here was her answer. And I found it very interesting, because I think we really have to understand what we're up against, because changing the narrative may sound simple, but here's what we're up against. Here's what Dr. Carol Swain told me.
But the universities have been going in the wrong direction for a long time. And one of the things I noticed after 2012 was that we started getting freshmen who were not there to learn from the professors. They had already been indoctrinated. They had answers to all the great problems of the world, things that have perplexed philosophers. They had the solution, and they were there to lecture the professors. And I think that's what I started to see before I left academia in 2017, is that a new kind of undergraduate was showing up. They had been fully indoctrinated, and what they encountered on the college campuses was all the conservative professors, and most of them had retired or they had left academia, and they were just being further indoctrinated and reaffirmed in their beliefs.
So I found that interesting, that the indoctrination had already taken place by the time they got to these universities and colleges. And keep in mind, she's talking about 2012, 12 years ago. Those kids were 18 then. They are now 30. So I think you have to look at these things from 30,000 feet to understand the uphill battle that we face. More of this conversation coming up inside this X Town Hall.
More truth in minutes on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutLoud.news, a place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
In 2008, people could spend an average of 12 seconds on a task without becoming distracted. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds. The digital age is narrowing our attention span. Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill, It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top, shoot it down. Thousands of five-star reviews proves it works. Supercharge your brain and see the difference. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Coming up at 7 o'clock, it is Unleash the Political News Hour. That is followed by the National Security Hour. And then at 9, it's After Dark with Robin Andrew. I'm Booker Scott. This is The Truth Be Told on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday night. We are live in an X space, getting the pulse of the people. It's a town hall. We do it every Wednesday night. And we're going to go back to the conversation now. Let's go to Caroline in Pennsylvania. Caroline, you have the floor.
Well, thank you so much for calling on me. I sure do appreciate it. And I sure do appreciate that I got to hear Doc speak just before the break. She always brings it right home. She doesn't let anybody off the hook. And we don't need to do that. We need personal liberties is personal accountability as well. And she doesn't forget that. And she's a good reminder of that. So she doesn't let anybody pass the buck. And we don't need to pass the buck here, by all means. So to get out of this, it's going to take some pain. We're not going to get out of this without pain. All right. So we're going to have to let some of these bad candidates fall, unfortunately. But that's going to be the part of it. That's going to be part of the solution. And we don't have a lot of time. So I go throughout my state and I'm looking at all different candidates and even across the nation. Who will I help? Who won't I help? Today, I ran into a candidate and was turned on to a candidate, actually. And so within interviewing them, you know, I realized they were captured already right away because of the people that they have around them, the people they've been listening to and all this other stuff. More than likely, the person isn't going to get elected. But nonetheless, I'm there to help just in case, right? Just to try to look and see what I could find. And so even though I realized immediately that they were, quote unquote, captured, I still was giving them the benefit of the doubt because, you know, I don't know everything, right? But then they said the thing that bothered me the most. See, we aren't getting these politicians aren't listening to us before, but they're not listening to us now. What makes us think they're going to listen to them after we elect them? So I'm holding them into account now. And the bottom line is that I couldn't believe my ears. I truly could not believe my ears, Booker. The candidate told me that they were going to be dishonest in order to get crossover votes and that they thought that that was going to be the way that they were going to win the race. So basically, they were told me they were going to lie.
Well, that's what we need. We need more of that, don't we? We have enough of it. No more of that, please. And you know
what? That one kind of goes in the I'm not going to go there aisle, and so I'm work quickly, and then I'm on to next candidate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think one thing that we have missed, and I think we have to take an honest assessment of ourselves in a lot of this stuff, is we have not been involved at the precinct level. We talk about county, we talk about the school board, but there are a lot of empty precinct committee chairs across the country in the Republican Party. Since 2020, if we had made that a priority, then the Republican Party would have a completely different complexion at this point. But we didn't. And so now we're still having politicians that are trying to win office that are lying to us straight to our face. Let's go to Doreen. Doreen, go ahead.
Thank you so much, Booker. I wanted to address what you talked about I believe, Dr. Carol Swain. I was just in attendance at a college a graduation ceremony on Saturday for my twin granddaughters, who I've raised most of their life. And I was scared to death to send them to college. But I said to them, do not come out of libtard. But one graduated from Kelly Business School.
Doreen, did they come out of libtard?
No.
Okay, good. Congratulations.
Thank you, Jesus. But the Kelly Business School, where one graduated from, they all came out in regular clothes. They didn't have their fancy garb on and their robes and all that business. And the dean was direct to the point about business. It was excellent. We loved it. But then we had to scoot out of there and then run to the other, because they're twins. And we had to run to the other one. And she's in the School of Public Health. And they all had their garb on. And the dean came up and he started speaking. But then he went into abortion, LGBTQ, transgender, all that garbage. My husband looked at me and said, I think we need to go. And I said, we're not going until she walks across that stage. So I'm just telling you, you know, what a difference between the two schools, business and School of Public Health. And my kids did not come out libtards.
Good.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Doreen. There's something to be said for that. You know, abortion, that was in the first segment of this hour, and looking for solutions and understanding where we are. I had a conversation back last summer, I guess, with a gentleman by the name of Mike Turmott. If you don't know who he is running for president right now for the Libertarian Party. So I thought it would be an interesting conversation to ask him some questions. He happens to be a pro-lifer, and he is, and he's doing really well. He may even get the nomination for the Libertarians. And I found this answer to my question about abortion was really interesting. And it made me think and kind of changed my perspective on getting people to go along with what I believe. And I'm just going to play it for you. You listen to what Mike Turmott, presidential candidate for the Libertarians, said. He is a pro-lifer, by the way. He just doesn't think the culture is where it needs to be for abortion to be out of the question. So here's his answer.
One more concept that I think is really important. Sometimes it makes me feel better. Sometimes it makes me feel worse. I do believe that in the grand fullness of time, and I don't really know what I'm talking about there. I don't know if it's going to be 20 years or 200 years. But it's not going to be 20 days, okay? But in the great fullness of time, we as a society, long after I'm gone, we as a society will look back and you will have to explain what abortion was. I do believe that this is a concept that will run its course and that will become virtually unheard of eventually. And I think that that's because of technological advancements yet to come. And I think that cultural change yet to come. I do believe that eventually our society, our world, our people, our species will put this in the rearview mirror. That is cold consolation for many of your listeners who dislike abortion as much as I do, right?
Yeah.
But I do believe that to the extent to which this fight is worth having, and I believe it is, by the way, I think that it's going to have to be fought in a cultural context. If you hate abortion, I encourage you to grab a picket, put a sign on it, and do some marching, right? Get involved. But get involved in a cultural way. I'm just not a fan of using the government to advance that cultural cause. Does this make sense, at least?
It does.
Disagree with me. You can be mad at me, but does it make sense?
It does make sense, and I think it's a wonderful dream that we can all dream that someday that's going to be in our rearview mirror, and I hope and pray that you're right on that. And
me too. I got no guarantees, right, Booker?
None of us do. And anyway, I thought that was interesting that someday, 200 years from now, we'll look back, society will look back and think, what were those people thinking at that point in history? And maybe he's onto something, but I think he is onto something when it comes to the culture. Until the culture changes and society changes, then it's an uphill battle. Another one of those uphill battles. Let's go to North Carolina then. Let's go to FedUp. FedUp, go ahead.
You know, that's kind of the point Trump was trying to make that a lot of people got upset about him when he was talking about the bill in Florida, that the culture of the political climate he was talking more about, but which comes from the culture, wasn't ready for that. It wasn't a winning argument right now. And he wasn't saying morally what he believed in. Like the last gentleman, he was saying what the political climate would allow for.
Well, and that's, you know, the case. That's the case across the country, FedUp. If you look at the percentages, you know, 65-70% of Americans, that's 65-70% of all Americans believe that abortion up to the first trimester under certain circumstances should be allowed. So the fight is moving that 30% to 50, 60, 70, 80 to eventually 100%. And that is the culture war that we're up against.
Correct. And well, the other thing people have to understand is if you are against abortion, we have to be realist and try to save the lives we can. You know, I'll just use this example real quick. We did in North Carolina because we have a Democratic governor and we have a one seat supermajority. So that means we have to get every Republican to vote for something to override a veto. Well, we did do a abortion bill here. It wasn't near as good as we wanted. They had to push the weeks up versus what the conservatives wanted because we just simply didn't have the votes. And they were like, well, let's get what we can to save what lives we can and then keep pushing. We're trying to get a Republican governor in. Then we can push it a little farther. But we just didn't have the votes to do it. And so that's the other thing people have to understand is you have to have the votes and the governor and all that to push these through. Like, you know, Florida, they had the votes in their legislature. They had a governor willing to sign it. That's not the case in most states right now.
Thank you, FedUp. Let's go to Rose. Rose, go ahead.
Well, I would like to say on a positive note, I was so thrilled of looking at the counter protests and actually patriotic boys on the college campuses and probably females as well, standing up for what they believed in. I think that was such an empowering thing to see. And I think, you know, it's all over TikTok as well, where the young kids look, and it's on Instagram of their actions that they did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to inspire other patriots who've been quiet to stand up. I think that move needs to be captured. And it needs to be shown that there's those quiet children there who've been quiet because, as Patriot Rob said, they don't want to be called racists and homophobes and everything else for their belief system. But now they're standing up and realizing that enough's enough. And I'm going to stand up for my beliefs. And I love my country. And there's plenty of them out there. And I think we, as the X generation, most of us on here, need to instill them that we believe in them and keep that power and that momentum going.
Well, thank you, Rose. I think those are great points. And for those of us that are Gen X's, I've said this before, and I should probably do a show on it sometime. I believe we're the bridge from the boomers and the no-name generation to the generations behind us. And I believe that we can perform a very important thing for this country. We've got time for one more. Let's go to the Hills. And Maxine Waters is looking for Patriot Rob. Rob, how are you doing?
Listen, here's a hard pill that all of us in this room have to swallow. And I'm not saying anybody's at fault for this, but hear me out. All of these kids that are in college right now, all of these indoctrinated simpletons that are out there, boy, Booker, you're bringing my A game, guy.
good, bring it on. You're the last one tonight, so go ahead.
Who are these kids' parents? Gen Xers. I can tell you this from being a Gen X parent 5 times. All right, my kids are all as based as they can be. My son being my last, he's 14. And he is like pretty much a carbon copy of me. I have been on him since he was a kid, what he watches, what he eats. I make sure that, you know, there's no TikTok in the house. There's no, you know, none of this Instagram garbage. We as parents, Gen X, unfortunately, we let our kids be babysat by the TV. And I swore I wasn't going to do that with my kids. Now, I'm not a perfect parent by any stretch of the imagination. My son has to live with Patriot Rob. That's a hard thing to do.
Oh, brother.
But you know, seriously, man, when it boils right down to it, what we're seeing is literally years upon years and decades of degeneracy from programming, from music, from movies, all pop culture, all these pop culture icons push this degenerate agenda. And our kids are being indoctrinated first by that. And then they go to college and then they have adults that they quote unquote look up to that are furthering the indoctrination. We as parents should have put our foot down long ago. And now we're 20 years behind the curve. We're kind of screwed when it comes to that.
Yeah.
I'm thanking my, you know, my son comes to me the other day, Booker, and he's like, I don't allow him to have TikTok, but his buddies, they all have a message thing. And his buddy sent him a TikTok video and he's like, Dad, is this real? And I clicked the link and it opens up into TikTok, but in like a browser. And it's a transgender soldier in the army talking about how happy he is that the army's allowing him to wear his nails long and wear makeup while he's doing PT. And my son goes, Dad, I don't really want to go in the armed services anymore. He wants to be a Marine. He's like, is this what's going on? And I said, yeah, that's pretty much what's going on right now, kid. And it's sad. It breaks my heart that I'm talking to my 14-year-old son about these issues. When I remember being 14, the only thing I cared about was getting on my bike, riding down to the local bowling alley and playing Pac-Man with my friends.
Yeah.
This is, it's a generation, it's two generations and 20 plus years of degeneracy being forced down our kids' throats. And we're behind the curve. And now we have to do twice as much to get it back to normalcy.
Thank you, Patriot Rob. And there you hear from the American people inside this town hall. And we do this every Wednesday night. And thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for everyone that participates. We love hearing your voice. And America has a problem, obviously. We need to be willing to take a look at ourselves. What can we do better? What can we do more of? You know, a movement is not a movement unless you're moving. And do is a verb. And we need to do a lot. My name is Booker Scott. You were told 2,000 years ago that you are the salt of the earth, and salt without flavor, it has no value. It's worthless. So whatever you do, keep being salty. Unleash the Political News Hour is next. Have a great night.
There is only one truth. You've been listening to The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott on America Out Loud.